Welcome back. Here's where you left off.
Spoilers ahead for Expeditionary Force, Book 16, Aftermath. So we've reached the end, Leonard, and as we talked about at the end of our last episode, the Outsiders are here. And talking about Aftermath, Book 16, and our final thoughts on it, let's start off. What do you think, Leonard?
This book itself is a great, in my opinion, it is a great continuation of the of Book 15. The reason why I'm saying that, I know there's a gap of 10 years between the last book and this book, and we mentioned several times already that this book, the first 20 chapters, in my opinion, was a great recap of what happened to them in the last 10 years. And the evolution of the character itself and how the characters moved themselves from a conflict of war, of doing sketchy things, to where they are now. And this book was literally, in my opinion, it was written in a way that it's an homage for the last 15 books and moving into a new chapter of the characters' lives. Right, we knew going into this book that there is characters mentioned that never got explored because we just don't know who they are. Right, like for example, the outsiders were a great example of a character was introduced in the last book, book 15. Now they're coming back in book 16, but granted, it's literally like a paragraph, I think, of describing the outsiders, but it was a great, I don't know, for me, it's just a great homage of great, amazing 15 books and their characters and putting them in 10 years from now and explaining to the readers what happened to them and introducing new conflicts that has a potential to grow to something massive. Right, that's me. Do you agree or disagree in that, or am I just gonna go off left field here?
You love going off left field. That's kind of your thing. But the the thing that really was great for this was the twist about the outsiders. Now, it brought up a whole slew of questions for me. A lot of questions. Number one, when did the barrier fail? How did they get in? Why did they just choose a random elder ship to use, which obviously it's very technically advanced, so they can go and use it. And what was their goal? To use the elder sentinels to eliminate all life in the galaxy? It's an interesting question, but the thing with a villain is you need to know what its motivation is from a plot perspective, right? As an example, the use of elder weapons at the end of the book brought up some interesting questions. One, technically the humans at this point have destroyed a few thousand, I think, overall, of the Kitty's ships. And they've got to start, sure, it's over the last decade, but they've got to start to be a little annoyed about this at this point.
They are
annoyed. Now that the humans have used elder weapons against them, even though the humans have the sentinels, using those, they sort of might look at it as, well, we'll just go off and use elder weapons whenever we want, right? And nobody's going to stop us. So I wonder if, to my mind, the question is, how do you stop that? Once you've used the nuke, the next guy is more willing to use the nuke. And that was really the first time that elder weapons have truly been used in the books. And so that brings up a lot of moral questions about what are they going to do next with it.
Well, here's the thing, though, because you actually made a great point that humans use an elder weapon. The last time it was used was the senior species war. After that war, when the Sentinels came out and like smacked them around and stopped doing it, they stopped using it. Now humans, Joe and Skippy, decide to tell the elders to bugger off. Seal them into where they are. You don't have to come back to the real world, quote unquote. Now the humans decide to use an elder weapon to eliminate a big chunk of their fleet a big chunk of their fleet and with zero consequences, right? And you and let's put this in perspective. If this happens to the real world, like where we are now, real world, if a country decides to use a nuke, half the population of the world is gone and we are in World War III. Right.
That's just a good scenario to it, right?
There's no consequence.
It's just a consequence to it. But the other interesting question I had is, and my main question is, what is the goal of the outsider? I mean, the elders obviously were scared. They obviously wanted to keep it out. They wanted to do, but for it to get in, and he sort of used the word infection, or Skippy did, as an infection, and so maybe it's just the eradication of something, and that's why the elders were scared. But the other thing that he mentioned was it's energy to matter, matter to energy. Huh, what does that remind me of? Huh. Oh yeah, transporters.
Yes. Yeah. kudos. But it's. I think when transform matter to energy to energy or matter to energy back to matter, for example, it's not. I agree with you. It's sort of like a premise of a transporter in Star Trek, but at the same time, it can be like a transformation of a being from something solid into something liquid and back into solid again, right? So it's something similar, but where the outside, remember the last few books, an outsider has been mentioned several times, especially when the elders tried to block themselves or put this barrier around the galaxy to say, hey, anything outside this galaxy can't come in. So we're blocking it to protect the elders or protect us, the elders. Now we're putting now the elders are decided to go to a higher level of consciousness, let's just say. And they put another barrier for them to be in. So it's like two layers of barriers, and you get this meat sacks running around the galaxy, right? Causing havoc. But anywho, now you actually asked a simple question. You did ask a question saying, how did they get into that barrier, right? We're not going to know that until the next book, hopefully. But if the threat was there already, that the barrier is there to protect the galaxy, but they can still poke in. It's like a gate with a hole in the bottom of the gate that people can, creatures can still come in. That's, in my opinion, that's exactly what's happening here. They can sneak someone in to do a recon and cause havoc, right? But at the same time, they don't want to commit everything inwards because they don't know what it is, right? And for them to choose an Elder AI ship to cause this havoc makes a lot of sense. You don't want to go in there with guns blazing with your own ships. Hey, I'm the outsider. I am here to cause havoc. Now everyone's going to gang up and everyone's going to join forces and go against you. Why not cause an internal conflict within the galaxy? Hey, we're going to choose this Elder AI to help this guy, to help the Max Sol to cause a little havoc here, right? It's literally a proxy war.
That makes
war.
A lot of sense. I'm it's with you. That war. Makes yeah. a lot of sense. But here's my next question that really messes with me is that, okay, if it's energy to matter, matter to energy, and it's in, we'll use the, Skippy used the word infection, then can it infect Skippy? Can it infect Valkyrie? Can it infect other facilities? Because if it's, you know, electricity, obviously it can do that, right? And so where does it stop? What's the stop point of that? And is there only one or multiple ones? I mean, the impression from the book is that it's one entity, not a group of entities.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's,
and so is there more of them?
No, you know, it's a good premise there, because there's right now, how we, based on what we read, there's one entity. This one entity caused all this, literally caused all this chaos, right? Chaos in the span of like a month. This is what he did. He literally did this, right? One person. It's like, remember in Star Trek and DS9, you have Odo and you get changed things. One change can really cause all this havoc. It's exactly the same premise here. We have one outsider cause all in this and getting one species pointing a finger to another species saying, you're the one who's causing this. Right? You're the one who's helping this AI. And at the same time, like I said in the last episode, he created this I'm doing something in my left hand. Meanwhile, I'm showing you my left hand, but meanwhile, I'm doing something with my right hand. It's exactly the same thing what this outsider is doing. It's causing havoc. And to be honest with you, for him being introduced in the last paragraph of the last chapter that he showed up and did this, it gave both of us pause with the WTF. I literally text you, we need to record this last episode. WTF. Okay, this is where we are now, and having that moment, introducing that the outsider as a cliffhanger, I want Greg to drop a mic right now. Says, "There you go. I'll see you soon." That's what I called good cliffhanger, and
it was a good cliffhanger. I mean, we know what the next book is going to be about already, though. If you didn't realize that, he's already stated what the premise of the next book is going to be about, because Joe's sort of final statements is that we got to get all the species together to fight the outsider. So obviously that's the goal in the next book. And I see lots of problems with that. Most of the species in the galaxy hate the humans because they either made them look like morons or used them or has blown up 2,000 of their ships. I mean, this is kind of a hard sell. I mean,
it is going to be. I don't envy Joe's job or even Krochak's job to like reunite all species to go against one potential super being out there that can actually eliminate everyone in one flick of a finger. Here, we have to go back to the in previous books that the elders were afraid. They're afraid. They're freaking out. They were freaking out against the outsiders, right? And now Joe knows that. Skippy knows that. Humans know that. That this creature from the outside of the barrier can literally they can lose their lives here. They can lose their culture. They can lose their planet, right? Their species, right? And the only way they can do that is to work together. But unfortunately, you said already that they're pissed off because humans made them look bad. Now the humans are saying, "Hey, we made you look bad. Let's go work together to beat these people that potentially can destroy all of us." Right? It's like a very typical horror movie. You have a bully. Thought that they're the social, they're like prom kings and queens. Now their ass is getting beat up, and they're talking to the nerds and saying, "Hey, we need your help." It's exactly the same premise here. This is exactly the same thinking here, and it's gonna be a tough sell, and I can't wait to see how they sell this to the rest of the species, right?
Well, that brings me to my next question, and you lead into it was, what's going to happen in the next book? What's your prediction here?
Well, my prediction is it's going to be, there's not going to be a big kumbaya around the fire camp, fire holding hands, like, let's go work together. None of that. I have this feeling that one of the senior species is going to help for sure. Some of the Jarathas, the hamsters are going to help. The beetles are going to help. The bird brains is definitely going to help. The cyborg big-headed people definitely are not going to help them at all, right? And I have this feeling that the client species of the humans, again, my theory is still going to be there. I have this feeling those guys are going to be the key for this whole thing. They can be the good key or it could be the bad key. But those guys are going to be the key of this whole thing. That the client species of the humans is going to be the downfall or the savior of this whole thing. That's what I'm predicting. But at the same time, I don't see this book to end, this series, this story arc, gonna end in two books. It's gonna be another three or four more books before I finish.
I would be totally down for that. But as we're aware right now, we get three books. We get this book, the next book, which assumably wraps up the story arc, and then we get a Scrandom book, which is a prequel. So assuming that he's stuck to that, we get one more book.
Okay, if we stick with that schedule, the next book is gonna be thick. It's gonna be thick.
His books are already thick, man. I don't think
but I'm just saying it's gonna be a thicker because it's the way this book, this aftermath ended, right? I feel like there's like two more books to finish this off. I mentioned in two episodes ago, it's like a story arc. You have a beginning, middle, and the end. We're just the beginning is this book is literally book 16 is just introducing the conflict. And he did that. He introduced the conflict. The conflict is the outsider. Now the second book will be the arc of that conflict. Is how to deal with this conflict, introducing this conflict, how to mitigate this conflict. And the next book will be okay. What is the conclusion of this conflict? Right. I don't see this as being done in two books, because as soon as you introduce a character like the outsider, there's a lot of questions, a lot of things that needs to be answered. Like you said it. How did they get in? What is there only one? Is there several of them that's standing by? Is this one will be the first one to cause this havoc? Is there another one that's dealing with another species down there? Right? So there's a lot of things that needs to be tied up. And I don't see this being happening in the next book.
He's going to. He's already said he's going to. I mean, that's been his
writers
statement.
Have a tendency to change their minds. So
don't get me wrong. I'm the first person that's happy if he does. But I think that for my prediction, and this is where it's going to get interesting, is that, as you said, the conflict, the resolution, obviously he's just set that up. My opinion is we need to get back to the root of the problem. And the only people that can solve that problem is the elders. So I think he's going to bring back the elders in some fashion.
Okay, I was in the middle of drinking water, and when you said that, I almost choked. And to be honest with you, I totally forgot about the elders. And I had this feeling the elders are not coming back. There's no way the elders are coming back. They sealed themselves in this little corner of their subconscious in a higher level. For them to come back, it mitigates all the work that Joe and Skippy did. It will eliminate it.
You know, what I mean is, they parted ways with the agreement that the elders would be safe from any problems, and the elders don't care. It doesn't mean that the elders couldn't make a choice to come back, even though it is destructive to them, or to have some sort of communication with Skippy or whatever. I'm saying that having a beatdown between the two where Skippy's like, hey, guys, you created this problem. You got to come help me fix this. I already put the smackdown on you in doing that. You know, like that kind of idea, right?
The idea of
getting all the species together and having them put a beatdown on something, maybe they don't fight against each other. But to beat it, at this point, I don't see it. I think bringing the elders back as a plot point and a plot twist, given the enormity of the outsiders, is a better plot point than just convincing the kiddies after you just wiped out an entire fleet to come help you. Because I just don't see that happening.
Well, I don't see that happening as well, too. But what are you going to do? Skippy and Joe's going to go to the door like, hello, can you give us a hand, please? Can you give us a hand with this problem? And I get this feeling the elders are going to say, it's like, hey, this does not affect us. Leave us alone. We made a deal. Leave us alone. If you're right, if the outsider decided to attack the elders and ruin their day, yes, you're gonna help out. But I can tell us right now, they're gonna stay away in arm's length. It's like if it does not affect us, we're not gonna touch a single thing.
So then, the only other solution that I have to think about that is finding out what happened to the barrier and repairing it, or making it better, or whatever, fixing whatever the issue was that let it in the first place. That's the other.
That's definitely what's gonna happen. That's definitely what's gonna happen regarding the question of the barrier. But before we go crazy and going this down a rabbit hole, let's talk about aftermath here. What is your favorite character so far from chapter 1 to chapter 37? Mine
well,
is
Well, I know.
Chad.
I know. Yes, I was just about to say that for some reason you're obsessed with the wife
Chad.
Praise
awesome.
Chad in doing that. You know, I think what I enjoyed a lot, and I by the way, my question about the Mavericks being just sort of they're there it really did turn out to be true with this book. And I was sort of saddened by that. But I did like the fact that Skippy had a little bit of growth in there. But I actually found that I was hoping to have more of Scrandom and more of... not Skippy. What am I thinking of here?
Nagatha and Bilby?
I lost my train of thought. No, you go on. I lost my train of thought. I was, I can't, you had, got Chad in my head. I keep on thinking of Chad.
It's Chad. Chad no, got you in your head. Chad. That's what it is.
He's got in my head here. You put that in my head. I keep on thinking of Chad there. No, I really liked the Scrandom plot in here, and I wanted to have a little bit more. And I know I'm looking forward to the prequel book for him, because even though the humans won't be involved, I think it's going to be a huge challenge for Craig to write that, simply because you don't have the introduction of humans, and it becomes solely on his character to carry the entire book. And I'm not sure how he's going to do that.
Well, if you just look at Scrandom itself, Scrandom was very pinnacle in the story arc of Expeditionary Force, from book 1 to book 15. He was there I see his character more like one of your friends is trying to push you to do the sketchiest thing because it's the right thing to do, right? Like remember when Frey and oh my gosh, I keep forgetting her name now. Frey and
why do you keep on forgetting Reed?
Reed, thank you. Frey and
you
Reed.
Just keep had, on
I know, I know. When Frey and Reed had a meeting with Joe for the first time, and they asking, "Hey, we need to know how you do sketchy stuff." Right. And Joe really told them, it's like, hey, your job is to tell me this is the most sketchiest thing. You shouldn't do it. Right. And Frey, your job is to encourage me to do the sketchy things. Right.
Yeah. The contradiction
and,
of the two.
Yeah. And Joe will figure out the rest. And if Scrandom becomes one of those guys, one of those characters for Joe to say, hey, I need you to do, can you do this? Because I can't do it. Like, morality kicks in that I can't do sketchy things this way. Can you figure out how to do this, but the same outcome with zero conflict of interest, conflict of morality, conflict of like just general being human, right? And Scrandom was there. Scrandom's always been there. As soon as there's a sketchiest thing that needs to get done, he shows up. Right. And this book itself shows the outcome of all the sketchy things he did in the previous books going into this book and saying, look at where I am now because I helped the humans. I made money. I lost money. I lost my reputation. I lost everything. But at the same time, I'm still in good spirit, right? Because I know I'm working something in a different angle. And
it's not his motivation. He just wants a piece of the action.
Exactly, exactly. And
that's their entire species motivation, is a piece of the action.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying, that his character in this book itself is a great example of what happened in that 10 years and where they are now. It's great because I didn't realize that until we talked about this in the last episode, that his character literally changed more drastic than every other character in this world, right? Don't you agree?
I think that he is who he always has been. I think that he has ups and downs, and I think that he got into a bad situation with Skip Coin, and then he figured a way out of it. And that's the thing that he loves the most. He didn't really care about it. He just cared about, as he says, thinking creatively, you know, to get out of a bad situation. And that's his juice. Other people are like, oh, I want to make money. I want to. Well, that's just the secondary thing for Scrandom and the species. They don't care. It's the action they want. And that's their motivation. And that's what I'm curious that he's going to write about.
Yeah. So, like we mentioned before, this book itself was a great recap of what happened to everyone's life in 10 years. Do you? Because we had this discussion in the first two episodes of this book review that it was slow. It was slow in a way that it was just a lot of, like, you. I think you mentioned several times, it's a filler, right? There's a lot of fillers, a lot of recaps of all that stuff. There's no action until, like, I don't know, chapter 10 or whatever. But do you still agree in that comment, or you're sticking with that comment?
You know, as much as it pains me, I think that the Mavericks shouldn't have been a part of the book. I liked hearing about them. Sure, great. Maybe he should have made it just a reference to them, but I don't think giving them multiple chapters really helped the book. And I think that that kind of filler, even though it's interesting to have it in it, you didn't make it a part of the story. And as much as Scrandon was definitely a part of the story, the Mavericks weren't really in almost every way except for like three lines in the book. And that to me was sort of a shame, where using them as filler was something that bothered me a bit in the writing of it, simply because you could have included other, I'll say, sketchy stuff in doing that rather than doing it. I mean, it's more of an update. I mean, I'm assuming that they're not going to be in the next book.
Yeah. So you felt like that there was a lot of recaps and a lot of missed opportunities to create a combine some of the major characters.
I think Craig wanted to hit on all these points. He wrote it down, said, I want to hit here, 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 and here. And that's sort of how he wrote it. I want to make sure I hit on all these points. And in doing so, it wasn't as much of a flowing a book as maybe he had wanted originally, maybe. And if I have a criticism, it's that, that even though when he writes slow stuff, I don't mind it. But it felt like he was trying to tick off a list, which is different than other books he's done in the past.
Well, some writers do put characters, especially if it's a multi-book series, they have a tendency to introduce a character in a previous book, but they end up coming back a book later or two books later, because it was the pinnacle of storytelling, of planting an idea before it gets introduced, right? So I agree with you. It would be nice to know the Mavericks is there. They're doing their awesome things, but it would be nice to hear them more. I want to see them more in the books itself. But like I mentioned before, writers do have a tendency to introduce a character that will be referenced later on, right? And what he did is the last time we saw the Mavericks in the book, in one of the chapters, they were evacuating the planet to move back to Earth to help reinforce Earth, right? And several times that Joe and Skippy are talking about this, that if we need to attack several places, we need more people. We need to attack in the same time. We can't attack one or two, and the other places has to reinforce themselves. By the time you get there, it's too late, right? They introduced that potential conflict, a potential story throughout the book itself. We'll start with the updates in the Mavericks. They're evacuating their mission to go back to Earth. Joe and Skippy introduced the potential idea of attacking several locations in the same time, but they can't do it. They need more people. So it was introduced already. So that's what I'm saying, that there's a good chance that it will be introduced in the next book. It will be more in the next book. But I agree with you. Mavericks, even the spinoff Maverick books were amazing. Was very, very good. But at the same time, this world is so big that introducing, try to do a recap on all the characters is hard, and that's definitely understandable. And you need, and as a reader, you want to know what happened to them, and at the end of the day, if you're disappointed that they're not there as much, but we have to wait for the several books coming out that they're going to be there, and you have some people like me, I understand why you're introducing this character for something potential, but you already planted the seed throughout the book itself, saying, hey, they might be coming back, right? So it's hard, at the same time disappointing, but at the same time it's exciting for those five characters, right? Even the hamster nerd was not even in the updates.
Yeah, I know. So, that was a bit disappointing, I gotta say. Most guys got an update.
But I have this feeling he'll show up if they end up being a big United Federations of Planets here.
It's not gonna be Undick anymore. We're gonna change the name.
The Federation.
You get to stop saying it.
But I agree with you. There is some characters there that will be nice to see more, right? What else were you excited on to get those updates?
I'm just looking forward to the next book to see what direction Craig is going to take everything in, and what direction, as you said, if we're going to have other characters reintroduced, if the Mavericks come back, if they're going to be more of an integral part, and if either one of our predictions is correct. Join us in our next episode as we review Apollo Murders by Chris Hatfield. Thank you for opening the book with us today. Subscribe so you won't miss our next episode. We would love to hear from you. Send us an email at yourbookmarksinfo@gmail.com. Join us again right here where you left off.